Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We're going to be wrapping up our focus on women in March here. Top Advisor Marketing, as many of you have heard, this is the year of the woman, where we are doing our best to try to get experts into the conversation who happen to be women more and more and more. Now, our guest today, Katie Donovan. We've never had anybody on the podcast like this. So if you're driving, please listen. But if you're on the treadmill or if you're just chilling out in your office, you're going to want to have some paper handy or take some notes on your keyboard because the information that Katie's going to share with us today is wildly important for every single solitary business person in the United States and Canada to know, because she is a pay equity expert who introduced the impact of salary history on pay gaps in 2012 and drafted the first ban on salary history questions. So she's a heavy hitter. She's also the founder of Equal Pay Negotiations. And we're going to talk a little bit more how all of you can hire her to help bridge these gaps and to help correct some of the issues that we have. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I am super excited to learn from you because you are the expert we have been looking for when it comes to pay equity. Before we dive into the definition, which we always want to start with an operational definition on the show, can you tell us a little bit about your history? Like, how did you get to where you are right now?
I got here because one dinner too much, one story too many of a woman discovering she was underpaid. In that particular time, it was $30,000 less than a gentleman she helped show the ropes to in a STEM company. So I had the background of having worked in staffing. I had worked for a staffing firm as well as for HR applicant tracking company. So I was servicing hundreds of different employers during my career and knew the basics of hiring, and knew that no matter who the employer was, the main goal was to hire the best person for not a penny more than necessary. So I thought I had a few things I could share, and it started as just something on the side. I'll teach a few classes about negotiating. And it grew from there.
Now, you just hit something very close to my heart because my mother started working for a bank called American National Bank. Now, this was in the early 80s, and she made $13,000 a year. And the guy who sat right next to her made $23,000 a year. And so this has been something that has driven me crazy and very frustrating to me, just because I had to live this, like this affected me directly. But I know how many other people it affects, and it really is truly ridiculous that there is still such a pay gap. Let's talk about what a pay equity expert is, and let's talk a little bit about the salary history thing that you worked on in 2012.
Okay, so my version of a pay equity expert is that I focus on process. Right now, the way the process of hiring, the process of making decisions for compensation, their best practices assume equality already exists. And in doing so, they're preventing it from ever being achieved. So that is my laser focus in the process of achieving equity. There are many other flavors to ways to achieve equity. And by equity, I mean women and men are being paid the same amount of money for the same work. Right now, there's what they call the gender pay gap, which is made up of three different components, if you look at the big buckets. One, jobs that are traditionally done or primarily done by women are valued as less than the jobs primarily done by men. Women are getting paid less than men in the same jobs. And then women are not being promoted at the same rate as men are. And you start just from first level job to first manager level, it drops 10 percentage point of representation of women. So it's a big drop right away. We're not talking just in the C-level.
And you have lots of statistics like that. Let's talk about what that the U.S. median pay gap is right now across the board. And then would you mind sharing what is in financial services?
So the median pay gap, which means men working full time, the median pay for them is 20% higher than the median pay for women working full time. So women are making 80 cents on the dollar. In the financial services, actually, Matt, I'm going to have to ask you to remind me. I know it's about
49% is what you had sent me previously. Yeah.
Yes, 49%. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine.
Blank. So the jobs that pay the most have the biggest gaps.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the national average is 80 cents on the dollar, but in financial services, it's 49 cents on the dollar?
It is 51 cents on the
51
dollar.
51 cents on the dollar.
Yes.
That's brutal. What in God's name is going on here? I mean, we can wax philosophical if you want. I mean, I really do. Why is this happening? Is this just entrenched gender bias? How can you justify this? I'm sorry, you're getting me fired up here, Katie. I apologize.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're fired up. I think I've been doing it so long, I lost the fire, and I keep focused on how are we going to move the button.
Gotcha.
But here's some of the background to it. A lot of this is institutionalized. People do not even realize they're doing what they're doing when they do it. For instance, to put it in perspective, if we woke up tomorrow and the world was completely unbiased, so no people of color weren't getting any discrimination, women weren't getting any discrimination, the LGBTQ community, people with disabilities, those are the four biggest buckets that have discrimination and are underpaid consistently. If we woke up and the world no longer treated them differently and treated them the same as the unbiased standard, which is a white gentleman who's able-bodied and heterosexual. That is the unbiased standard. If that happened, it would still take 45 years for the gender, racial, and all the other pay gaps to close because of all of the stuff embedded in the processes that just continue. Previous bias, previous discrimination into the next job and the next job and the next job. That's part of it. So some of this is left over from discrimination that happened in the 80s, in the 70s. It wasn't till too long ago that there were actually two different pay scales, one for men, one for women, that companies blatantly used, and it was normal, and everyone was like, yeah, we'll pay the married guy with two kids more than the single woman, even though they're doing the exact same job.
You talked about processes. So what makes you unique and different and what you bring to the table is looking at those entrenched processes. Our listeners are generally independent financial advisors or people in the financial services industry. What sort of entrenched things or what sort of processes can you help them with in order to create this parity and break down some of this inequality?
So if they are creating relationships with anyone, so whether it's as an employee, as a contractor, whatever the process is there, more often than not, people are looking at, tell me what you're making now. That is a very consistent question through many different industries, every industry, because they're really looking to find out what is the person happy to accept. And that question, if you're in a group that has been consistently underpaid, your answer is going to be lower than a guy's answer. And that will just continue the discrimination. So that's why the first thing I got involved in was ending the question of salary history. And it's used in contracts as well. If you have a relationship of, I'm going to be a vendor for you, I'm going to contract for you, that same kind of question, or what percentage are you used to getting in, you know, we'll do a deal and you'll get X percentage of the work you bring in. Percentages are negotiable as well. And those vary from partnership to partnership. So you want to look at everything and aim for as high as possible if you are the person who is the contracted person or the employee. If you're the employer or the person who is contracting someone, you want to not look at the norm of everyone. So in databases for hiring someone, there is the median pay. 85% of employers use the median pay of everyone as kind of their starting point, what they're targeting to bring someone in on. If you're looking at everyone, you're not looking at the norm. You're looking at the number that has been dragged down by the women who are underpaid, the people with disabilities who have been underpaid, et cetera. It just continues. And that number is lower than what the man's number is. You want to, even though I talked about how blatantly back in the 70s and early 80s, there was the men's database and the women's database, we need to bring the men's database back and pay everyone based on that and think about that. Internally, if you have a range of what you're going to be giving people for the work they do,
okay,
compensation for it, cut out all your women and look at just what are you paying your men. That would be a quick way to see, do we actually have a different number? A lot of employers are petrified to look under the hood and see those numbers, though.
Well, as an employer, we're 80% women here in our organization. I've made that similar mistake, right? So I will go to salary.com or whatever and start looking at comparables between, you know, what I want to pay our team and what the national norm is. But you have some statistics here because, you know, we do ask, you know, some questions because we have contractors right now. So we do salary negotiations with our contractors before they become employees. But you said that statistically, women will need to answer at a 50% higher rate of pay than men in order to gain more parity and equality. Did I read that right?
You read that right. So think of it this way, whether it's for a contract or for employment. If a man is doing a job and getting paid $100,000, just to make it easy math, mm-hmm. and statistically the woman doing the same job is getting paid $80,000, now they both go apply for the next job. The gentleman most likely is going to answer somewhere around $120,000. Of what he's looking to earn, if the question of desired pay, which is in most job applications, or as a contractor, he's in charge of coming up with, well, I charge X to whoever's hiring him. Mm-hmm. So he will say 120. The woman making 80 grand today would need to say 50% higher to say the same 120. The likelihood of that is amazingly low because no one talks in that range when they're talking about your next job should pay you 10%, 20% more. And you should always be in around 10 to 20% higher than what you're asking, than what you're earning when you ask. That's what you see in article after book. That's what everyone's talking about, 10 to 20%. But that only works, once again, it's very focused on, that's a great answer for the white guy. Everyone else, no, don't answer that. If you're a Latina woman, you have to say 122% higher than your current pay.
And for African American men, they need to increase it by 76% according to your stuff here.
Right, and that's all based on what the current pay gaps are by race and gender compared to white men.
So we have progressive focused male allies who listen to this podcast because I hear from them often because every time we bring on somebody who talks about and we haven't really talked about the pay thing, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, but we've also talked about selling, you know, between men and women. So we brought on a lot of female experts, especially this month, to help enlighten our audience. Let's talk about what they can do. All right. So rubber meets the road. I'm totally putting you on the spot here.
Sure. Let's
dive into that a little bit more deeply. And then, of course, for those of you who want a much more detailed answer than what Katie's going to be able to give to us in the short period of time we have on this podcast, we're going to give all of her contact information so you all can reach out to her, ask her questions, hire her to help you make sure that we make this right. I think it goes with saying that everybody at Top Advisor Marketing wants to help make this right. This is a major focus for us. And it's not just in 2019. This is going to be the major focus for our company. We all firmly believe in what you're talking about. We all firmly believe that we need to, as an organization, support this, what just seems to be a no-brainer philosophy, but understanding that there's so much entrenched crap here that we need to dig ourselves out of that entrenchment. Did I just make up a word? I don't really know if that's a word or not.
It
sounded okay, so I'm just going to leave it there. But help us. Okay, so let's talk to our audience directly, and why don't you give them one or two things that they can do right now?
The first thing is to accept that there is a problem. Many employers say that the inequality is outside of their walls, and that may be true, but there's actions that every single employer, if they're following best practices, are doing that actually continue previous discrimination, even though they haven't actively done anything discriminatory. Once you accept that you possibly have some influence on continuing the discrimination of previous employers, then it's time to look at your processes, audit it. There's about 15 to 20 things that most employers are doing that continue previous pay inequity. And it starts from how job descriptions are written, how bonus structures are created, how the promotion process is done. There's so many small things that all add up that just making one or two changes can have real quick impact. So if you want to do one thing and one thing only, start posting what you pay for a job in all of your job advertisements. Only 15% of employers do that, and that would put employees of all types on the same level field when they're going for a job.
I have a question. What do you think about salary transparency within the workplace?
It's actually been shown to close the gender pay gap by 3 to 4%. So it works. It's not so much from my perspective, it's not so much that people are actively talking about their pay. It's that employers are aware that people could be talking about their pay. So they're not as blatant about like, oh, well, there's a 20,000 difference between Bob and Sue. Now they're like, oh, we better not do that because Bob and Sue may talk someday.
I thought that would be a higher percentage than 3 to 4%. When I was a coaching consultant, Katie, when we used to do HR stuff, I always said, hey, you need to make sure that this is transparent. And why do business owners freak out so much? Is it because they know that there's inherent discrimination or inequity? Or why do you hear from entrepreneurs specifically that they don't like sharing the salaries across the board?
Not that I always believe the reasons I'm being told, but here are some of the things I'm being told.
Okay.
How's that?
That's a great, I love it. Yeah, you teed that up well. Okay, go ahead.
Often you hear that if we post what the job is, people who are superstars and are looking to get paid more will not be applying. And if it really is a superstar, we'll figure out a way to make the math work. Which is really not even close to the truth. Because from my days when I worked in an HR applicant tracking company, and I dealt with hundreds of employers, one of the first things recruiters do to get those 200 candidates down to the 5 that they actually bring in-house for an interview is look at their pay to get them out of there. Because if they're making too much now, we're not going to be able to afford them there isn't this great magical bucket of money that they can come up with for a superstar. I mean, there are superstars in the world, but they're the ones everyone knows about, and you're chasing them. They're not reading an ad on monster.com and applying. So it doesn't hold water.
I have never heard the superstar argument.
That I hear all the time.
Oh, my gosh, that's so crazy. I mean, wow. I mean, if you're going to hire a superstar, then you need to be prepared to pay the superstar anyway. So anyway. Okay. Now, you also said something about job descriptions. And before we wrap up today's podcast, how is the inequity built into the job description? Could you share a little bit about that?
Sure. There's masculine words and feminine words, or supposedly. So women are drawn more to collaborative type of work or descriptions of the work. Men, more leadership types of work or lone wolf types of work, where they're aggressively doing better than the next guy. Now, I know I just said things that are total broad brushing it. Everyone's different. But statistically, it has been shown that job descriptions that have a lot of what they consider masculine words in them will get a candidate pool that is mostly men. And same with words that are mostly feminine words will get mostly women. And if you look at the job descriptions for anything manager above or in the world of finance, would definitely have a lot of masculine words. So it is making sure that you actually review the language in your description and have it that it's neutralized, that it's a mix of both feminine and masculine words, so it attracts both genders or everyone on the spectrum of genders. Mm-hmm. And you can Google, there's a ton of tools out there, a lot of them free. You can Google job description, masculine, feminine words, and find a ton of things to adjust those.
Now, how often are you posting stuff about this on social or through your website?
I am on social media multiple times a week, not every single day, but multiple times a week. I tend to be more media interviews that I'm sharing than my own writing.
Okay.
I wish I had more hours in the day, but I don't quite.
Yeah, amen to that, sister. I'm right there with you.
So that's what I tend to share. Also, I tend to share things that I'm impressed with from other people.
Okay.
And then I do speaking engagements. So I'm out there doing those and sharing when those are happening and workshops and whatnot.
Well, a true expert knows that they don't know everything. And sharing, you know, what you're impressed with from other thought leaders is fantastic, right? I personally think that really shows your level of truly being an expert here, because your goal is to change the conversation and get this good thought leadership out. So make sure everybody that you follow, Katie Donovan, we'll make sure that there's links in the show notes to follow her on social media and to get to her website. But what is the best way for everybody to reach out to you? Do you have anything that's going on right now that you're offering that our audience can take advantage of?
I would say the best thing is the services right now, whether you're an employer, to have a discussion and an audit of your own processes to see where you inadvertently are continuing pay gaps, whether it's gender or racial or other. And as candidates or employees or even entrepreneurs, about your contracts and employee contracts, negotiating those. I work with the individual. So I work on both sides of the table.
And the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can reach me at equalpaynegotiations.com.
Fantastic. And we will make sure, Katie, that we have that into the show notes too. All right. Closing thoughts, whether it's just a philosophical comment or something a little bit more pointed and direct, what would you like to leave our audience with today?
The thing I find most important, everyone says this is a fairness issue, and it truly is. But no one wins any argument by saying it's not fair. Mm. So make sure you have the economic argument, the lack of skills that people are losing out by having 50% of the workforce not involved, et cetera, in your arguments when you're trying to achieve equality for your workforce.
Wonderful. Katie, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of the work that you do. And thank you for being a guest on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I had a joy.
If you don't realize or don't accept that there's a problem, then you're part of the problem. right? So when Katie said, you know, realizing that this is an issue and accepting that and embracing that is one thing that I really want everybody to just close their, well, except if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but, you know, close your eyes and say, okay, you know what? I can't continue to contribute to this. This is not good for me. This is not good for society. And this ultimately is really bad for your clients. All right. So those of you who are so customer service focused, you need to realize that having a more diverse and a better representation of who's in your office is also going to help you represent your clients even better. It also gives you different ways to look at great things like branding and marketing and client communication. You can even look at how your letters are being written or your newsletters, because if they have a lot of those masculine infused words, you are going to push away, right? Somebody, which are generally going to be women because they outlive men exponentially, who are 90% of them are going to be solely responsible for their finances at some point in their life. And 75% of them fire people like you if you're not communicating effectively with them. It all can start with what's going on within your office. So please go ahead and follow Katie Donovan on social media. Make sure that you sign up for whatever she's got going on so that you can continue to stay posted on what's going on and how you, as an entrepreneur and as a financial services professional, can take this 49% of what women earn to men in financial services and let's get that to be equal, because it should be equal. We all know that by now. Come on, everybody. It's 2019. It's not 1950 anymore. It's time to wake up. Katie, thank you very much for for allowing us to be enlightened by you and for everybody at the Equal Pay Network and Equal Pay Negotiations and, you know, pretty much everybody who's involved with making sure that pay equity happens across the board. This is Matt Halloran, a top advisor. If you have not subscribed, click subscribe. If you know somebody who's blatantly doing this, I would love it if you'd share this podcast with them. Or if you know somebody who just needs to hear this just to open up their eyes, please make sure you share the podcast. And if you have a moment, rate the podcast on iTunes. And if you have anybody who you know who would be a great guest on the show, make sure that you send them to matt@topadvisorm.com. So we will see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.